Alright, we'll start off in Joshua 1. Yahushua 1. A little trivia. A little Bible trivia. What was Joshua's name originally?
Joshua.
Anyone?
What was the question?
Joshua 1.
What was Yahushua's original name? Okay.
Hosea or Hosea.
Numbers 13, right? Okay. And so, and which means, what does Hosea mean?
I believe that is salvation.
Salvation. And who changed his name?
Moses.
Moses renamed it. Yeah. Just like Jesus Christ renamed Saul to Paul. And he changed his name from Hosea or to Yahushua. What's Yahushua mean?
Yah is salvation.
Oh, it's salvation. That's knee history, and that's what Jesus Christ's name is. This is a little something on a side note. Why some people believe Jesus Christ's name is Yahshua. In Nehemiah, Joshua is called Yeshua. So if you look at it, and you'll see in Rotherham, I think it's Nehemiah 10, Rotherham will actually put Y-E-S-U-A. So it's like a Yeshua, which just means salvation. And that's their justification. His name is Yahshua. No. Go back to Joshua. That's where the original. So Nehemiah, they were in captivity and stuff. So you get to see some things. But it's a little neat food for thought when you hear people say his name is Yahshua. You say, what chapter and verse? And sometimes, most of the time, they don't have any chapter and verse. But if they did, they said Nehemiah. They said, well, very good. That's after the captivity. Go back to Moses, which was in Numbers 11. But anyways, Joshua 1:1, page 236. We're going to look at Yahushua or Joshua's calling, and I couldn't really think of a name, but I think for in today's society, when we talk about our calling in Christ, what our purpose really is, your job. What is your job? But what is his calling? And I'll read Joshua or Yahushua chapter 1 verse 1. And it came to pass after the death of Moses that the servant of Yahweh, the Yahweh spoke unto Yahushua, son of Nun, the attendant of Moses, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, pass over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I am giving unto thee, unto the sons of Israel. Every place wherein the sole of your foot shall tread, unto you have I given it, as I spoke unto Moses. From the desert and this Lebanon, even unto the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going into the sun, shall be your boundary. No man shall stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, neither will I forsake thee. Be firm and bold. And this is what Moses told him in Deuteronomy before Moses went to sleep. Yahweh through Moses told Yahushua, be firm and bold. This is how he starts his ministry or his new job. Be firm and bold, for thou shalt cause this people to inherit the land which I swear to their fathers, to give unto them. Only be very firm and bold, taking heed to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee to do, not to turn aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. Real important, don't just be firm and bold according to the scriptures. If you're not reading the scriptures, how can you know what to be firm and bold in? If somebody isn't careful, they can be firm and bold and be choosing the curse of the law. Deuteronomy 28, there's the blessings of Yahweh. Deuteronomy 28, there's the cursings of Yahweh. Don't be firm and bold according to the cursings of Yahweh. Do the blessings. This is implied, but real important. Verse 8, the scroll of the law must not cease out of thy mouth, but thou must talk to thyself therein day and night. Talk to yourself what? The scriptures. What Yahweh says. And what happened when you take Yahweh's word and you put it in your mouth and you speak it? Who's speaking to you? Yahweh is. That's how important memorizing these scriptures are with these kids. My dad's got these kids doing it. And it started with the kids, and now I started doing it, and I'm so surprised how lazy my brain is. I go through about 20 to 30 every morning. If I miss 2 days, all of a sudden I get brain farts. I know this one. I know it. But how important is the exercise? Knowing the scriptures day and night, speaking them. Verse 8, therein day and night, that thou mayest take heed to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy ways prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be firm and bold? Do not start nor be dismayed, for with thee is Yahweh thy God. He does that a lot. It's called a grammatical inversion. Other translations say, I am with you. No, with thee is Yahweh thy Elohim, wherever thou goest. So then, where is Yehoshua when this conversation is happening? Is this thundering down from Mount Sinai in front of everybody? Does this appear to be a private conversation? Okay, so he's a man on a mission right now, right? And then here we go. Verse 10. So then Joshua or Yehoshua command the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp, and command the people, saying, wait a minute, it's usually Moses giving these things, and he's, now all of a sudden there's a new sheriff in town. He's starting to command immediately. Okay, who told him to do that? Yahweh did. Can you imagine some of these people? You'd rather the substitute teacher, or your teacher leaves the classroom, and then somebody else starts speaking up for the teacher? Who are you? Who elected you? You know, but here it is, Yehoshua, what is he doing? He stands up, make ready for provisions, and he goes through this, and the neat thing is, after he walks out being firm and bold and speaking the word, the people respond, only be firm and bold, which is, that's so neat. Because Yehoshua, does he have a good job? No. I mean, yes and no. He's got the hardest job on the planet. We think that Donald Trump's got a tough job right now. He's taking over Moses. Is that some big shoes to fit? Phil? Moses. And what is he going to have to do? He's going to have to take the word, speak it to some day and night, and then he'll be prosperous. And okay, they get started off pretty good, but man, where this teaching is what I'm trying to focus on is different jobs and different callings and different positions. His job just changed. He was first Moses' servant. And actually it says right here, the attendant of Moses. And then who changed his job? Yahweh did. And does he have a lot more responsibilities? Yeah, you better be. And does this say who Joshua's servant's going to be? No. If I was Joshua, I'm like, who's my right-hand man? I need somebody here. But it doesn't necessarily say. But here it is. He's going to take over. And here's a job position. And all of us have been in a position where Yahweh tells us to go to a different job. And what's going to happen usually? Do you ever feel overwhelmed? I can't do this. We have an enemy inside of us. I was just reading this today in Colossians. We're supposed to kill your old man. Don't listen to him. I was talking to a friend of mine. She said she sent her kids to a therapist before. She said it never really worked. And I said, my experience with therapists, with the exception of Dr. Dobson, is they evaluate. They give the microphone to the old man, listen, and they evaluate the old man the whole time. You're supposed to kill that guy, not listening to him. That's like listening to somebody's going to... That's like, hey, why don't we just go have some interviews with Charles Manson? Why don't we just go listen to him for 2 or 3 weeks? It's going to put some spells over you. But anyway, you're supposed to kill that old man. But here's Joshua. His job just changed. And when we get to see the ending of his job, and we know it's very successful, right? Did he know that?
No.
We just watched a movie called Our Darkest Hour with Winston Churchill. He's a conservative, and he gets nominated when the war is basically over. Great Britain has basically fallen. All of their army, 300,000 people, are stranded in Dunkirk, getting ready to be exterminated by the Germans. Nobody, even in Great Britain at this point, really is behind Winston Churchill. They nominate him, and he goes, she goes, it looks like you finally got your dream. He goes, yes, but I think it's to a sinking ship. Mm. And that's how it starts. What do we know? But as you watch this movie, you might be able to empathize with this leader who was called into a position just like Joshua. You think you got it tough? I've never been responsible of thousands of people dying. I haven't. And here's Joshua, or here's Gideon with these guys going, man, people are going to be died, or they're going to die, they'll be murdered. But then here's Winston Churchill, we get to see what happened, and golly, how important was his stand. He didn't give up. He did what his calling was. And Joshua did the same thing, and all of us are going to have the same time where we know what we're supposed to be doing, we have an idea, and a lot of times our family has an idea, but they really don't know. they have an idea what you're supposed to be doing, but what is your specific job? That's between you and your knees to find out, to humble yourself. And you go through the scriptures. And if you don't know what your job is, you get on your knees. And I think the first thing that I saw, somebody said, don't go to Yahweh asking him for things until you have first thanked him for everything. And then I added to it, until you said, what can I do for you? You don't go to the creator of the universe going, hey, I need you for a minute. Hey, excuse me. Time out. Put that on hold. I need some help here. Get on your knees. What is your job? What is your job? And you know what? Whenever we talk about our job, what's Hebrews 11:6 say? It's a real good one to memorize. Specifically when we got job positions. Without faith, it is easy to please Yahweh.
No, it's impossible.
It is impossible. Who is at the right hand of Yahweh? He's in charge, right? Does he want to please his father?
Yeah.
Does he have to produce faith now? Boy, that'll blow the theologians. Oh! Yes, of course he's got to produce faith. Of course he's got to do it. Even now he's got to do it. Your old man and my old man wars with us to say, I don't want to do anything that produces faith. I want easy. I'm going to go. It's just the opposite. The job that Yahweh calls you to, actually his son who's running everything, we want one that doesn't require faith, right? Well, that just breaks in Hebrews 11:1. So a lot of times that little voice that's been communicating into you and they're calling you in a direction, you're going to go, why are you calling me into favor or a failure? Do you hate me? Is this because I forgot to ask for forgiveness? These are the thoughts that go through. Why are you asking me to do something that I'm not good at? What's Hebrews 11:6? Without faith, it is impossible. Imagine Moses being called as a shepherd to go be a commander, a general, and basically he's a king. He's a pharaoh. You go be the pharaoh to my people, and you go to tell them, start, wait a minute, man, this... And the neat thing is, now I'm gonna go off on a sidetrack here. Was Moses' wife and his two sons with him when he went into Egypt for this war? This was a major war. Anybody know? No. His family wasn't there. It wasn't until later on that Jethro brings him. Why wasn't his family there? Were the scriptures silent? Let us be silent. But it would appear that maybe they weren't on board or something like that. So Moses, it would appear that he didn't have the support of who? His wife and his two kids. It didn't say that, but I would think that if they were on board, that Yahweh would have sent them. But here's the whole thing. I go, golly, we think we got it tough. Second, or 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it'll be page 175.
I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians what, honey?
175.
So we look at what is your job? What is my job? And what I wanted, you know, as a kid, even as a young adult, I wanted somebody else to tell me what my job is. Does that require faith?
No.
No. And then what does Yahweh want you guys to do? You go meet with the commander in chief. Go talk to his son. Make an appointment. Get on your hands and knees and don't go empty-handed. Sing him a song. Sing him a song of thanksgiving. Pour out your heart. He sees your heart. He knows when you're going through the motions. And he's not going to buy it. You just say, thank you. And they go, what's my job? And you're going to go, God, and the peace that rises above every mind will guard your heart and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Now, now all of us have an idea. There's a job that all of us have. We have a calling right now. Something we don't want to do, right? Right? You got something you don't want to do, but you know you're supposed to do it? I'll kind of back up. I'll reflect on myself for a second. When I was 19 years old, I rededicated myself to Christ. I had fun as a teenager. I made mistakes. And finally, by 18, 19, I'm going the wrong direction, and Yahweh spoke to me. It wasn't audibly, but it was might as well have been. Go home. And when I got home, do you know what my idea of paradise was?
Never having to do anything.
Having 7 kids, being married, and having a swing set in the front of my house. That's paradise. That was my dream. That's all I knew. That's what my parents had. That's what I grew up. That was paradise. You have a swing set right here. I go to work. I come home. There's kids everywhere. There's toys. And that's what I wanted. And one of the hardest things for me was what I was afraid of. I was afraid to talk to Yahweh. Do you know why? Can I be honest here? He's going to ask me to do something I don't want to do. Okay, I said it. Right? All of us have that. I don't want to... And guess what I did when I got quiet? I knew that I wasn't supposed to be married. and it broke my heart. I'm like, why would you? I even told mom. I remember telling mom, and mom asked me what was wrong. I said, Yahweh doesn't want me to marry. She goes, that's not true. and she had an idea, but I already knew. Yahweh said, and now I look back and I go, I got the best life on the planet to me. But back then, Yahweh called me away from those things. But here I was. I thought I knew what I wanted. And there's a neat song. Garth Brooks had it. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Mm-hmm. A good time is to sit down and be thankful. You listen to that song. Go, man, if I would have had it my way, I would have done this and this and this. Now look what I got. Man. The 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Would somebody read verse 12 through 18 for me?
I will.
Thank you.
For just as the body is one, and yet hath many members, but all the members of the body, through many, are one body, so also the Christ. For even in one spirit we all unto one body have been immersed, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, and all of one spirit have been caused to drink. For the body also is not one member, but many. Through the foot shall say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And though the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where are the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath Elohim sent the members, each one of them in the body, even as he pleased.
And so we are the part of the sacred secret. Ephesians 3, Colossians 3, that nobody knew about this thing called the body of Christ. That basically when we received salvation, that we became a clone, these are my words, and part of a body of Christ. Now Christ is cloned and inside of us. And who's the head of the body of Christ, kids?
Christ,
Yehoshua, he's the head. He's the nervous system. He's the brain. Now with this body, it's more complex than ours because we have freedom of will. You guys ever broken a finger? Stubbed a toe, rolled an ankle. You ever done that before, basketball players? It hurts. And it makes you very thankful for your other ankle. And you don't realize how important even a toe is. I got turf toe playing college football. And you don't realize what even a little member, what work it does until it doesn't work. And you're like, God, how thankful that is. Well, we are a part of the body. Where is our position? It says it's according to verse 18. But now hath Yahweh set the members, each one of them, in the body, even as he pleased. The job that you have is because this is what he is pleased to give to you. I still do it. It's my old man. We have an old man we got to kill each day. Kill him. Don't listen to him. Wake up in the morning. You have a hunting tag. It's to kill an old man. Kill him in the morning. And then you say, if you show up again, I'm shooting you right in the face again. Do it again. Yahweh says there's a war and somebody's going to be a slave. And if you're your old man, he's just going to have a horrible life. And when Christ comes back, things are going to pass through the fire. Our good works will pass through the fire. We'll be, yay! Every act of obedience will be so excited. Every act of disobedience, we're like, man, dang. And when's Christ coming back, we don't know. But the idea is, your job is what pleases him. Isn't that neat? Sometimes you think your job is a punishment. Oh, you asked me to do this because you really hate me, don't you? This is why I didn't want to talk to you.
That's not like me.
But it's all of us. It's our old man because he's usually going to ask us to do something we don't want to do that produces faith. But why is he asking you to do it? It's because it's well-pleasing to Yahweh. Wow. My dad, when I started playing football, I was not really competitive with other sports. So I didn't compete. But in football... Dad said, you be the first to volunteer for anything the coach says. I don't care. Before he even tells you what job he has, you volunteer for it. Every time. And you be the first one. And at first, I was very embarrassed. How do you like lifting your hand up in public school? You don't mind?
No.
That's good. No, that's really good. Most kids, it took me to about my freshman year in college to get over that. I was afraid of being singled out. I wanted to blend in. But anyways, with this, it wasn't easy for me to raise my hand to volunteer. And the coach goes, I need a long snapper. I'll do it! And after a while, the coaches started laughing because he goes, not you. I need a quarterback. But I would do it. And the idea is I got into a habit because of my father that I was always ready to go. And because of my father and me walking out in that, I was always excited to do it. And guess who was always flattered? The coach. Get over here, Aaron. You're right here. Now, for the rest of you guys, they're complaining about your job, your positions, you're unhappy. Everybody wants to be a quarterback on the football team.
Yeah.
I just want to be a superstar. Can you have 22 quarterbacks on a football team?
Nope.
How many quarterbacks are you going to have?
One.
Probably two.
Well, yeah, two.
You have one that gets all the glory. The backup quarterback, he doesn't really like his job. He's kind of hoping the other guy quits, burns out, rolls an ankle. Then he comes in as a hero. It's the same thing with the body of Christ. And the idea is what my dad taught me, and I learned is, you be the first one no matter what it is. And then you do it with all your heart. And what I learned is, some of the godly principles that my dad started, is Christ inside me absolutely loved it. There's a part inside you that doesn't want discomfort. There's a part inside you don't want to get embarrassed. There's a part inside you, but you know what Christ loves? Faith and opportunity to please His Father. So when you volunteer to go do these things, there's a thing that's going to get inside you. And to a natural man, there's called adrenaline junkies. But into this, I'm going to call it a faith junkie. You start getting really excited. I'll do it. What is it? I don't know. I'll do it. And I want you to head at it with the coach. Goes, there's going to be three guys running at you as fast as you can. I want you to take them all out. What do you think? I go, I'll do it. They go, are you serious? Yes, I'll do it. And then I ran into him like a cannonball, and it hurt. But it felt really good, and for some reason. But that's the way we're supposed to be with the body of Christ. We're not talking about a football coach. If Donald Trump called you guys up, said, I got a job for you. Whoa. Here's Isaiah. Isaiah might be thinking, I'm going to put words in your mouth. He probably needs a new fighter pilot. Why is Donald Trump calling me today? Probably needs a new tank commander. Something cool, right? Did he pick up the phone? Yes, President Trump. Thank you for calling. Yes, it's an honor to talk to you. What do you need? He goes, why don't you take out my trash? Oh, okay. Every once in a while, you're not going to want to take out the trash, but who told you to take out the trash? Would that give you pride?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I take out the trash for the President of the United States. He's watching me right now. Would that make you excited? If he didn't know what you were doing, that's different. It's kind of like cleaning your room. Your mom's not watching. Everything goes under the bed or the closet, right? But if mom was watching, that's a little bit different, right? I don't know about you guys. I just know about me. But now here's the idea is do it with all your... So verse 12, your job is what he's pleased. He's given you a position. He's watching to see what you'll do. And it's going to require faith. And you say, when you first start playing American football, who wants to be a tackling dummy? The tackling dummy where you're the guy, when people get, you're the backup guy, they're going to tackle you, they're going to teach them how to hit you really hard. Oh, wait a minute. I did it, and I was, all of a sudden they're going to hit me, and then what I was able to do is I was like, you're going to hit me, I'm going to hit you right back. And I did. And actually, Izzy did that when he was playing college football. He was on a scout team, and Izzy said, "This is our games." Other people, if you're on a scout team, I'm just a tackling dummy. Nobody even passed me in the back. Izzy, your dad, says, "If I'm not going to get to play football games, this is my football game."
Oh yeah.
And he started competing at the practices. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
I guess who noticed that. I guarantee the coaches were watching going, what kind of breed is this?
Yeah.
We need to clone that. Because the better practice teams we have, the better teams we're going to have. We want everybody acting like that. That is a contagious thing. I haven't been in the military, but I'm sure the fraternity is similar. You want people that have that drive in them, like a Johnny Manziel or even this Baker Mayfield type thing. What is he? This guy's got something else. That's what we have. We have Christ inside us, and He's hungry for success, especially to please His Father. Colossians chapter 3, that's page 207. And if you're a kid and you think you're overwhelmed with some of the stuff you're being asked, what was Samuel's first mission? Samuel had to go to his stepdad and to tell him that his kids are going to die and all these horrible things are going to happen, like a curse is coming on him. And then he had to go back to bed. And then in the morning he goes, hey, stepdad, can I have something to eat? You! What happened to other prophets? What happened to Micaiah with Ahab? Horrible things. Sam was a kid. Gonna go, wow. It would appear if you had to go tell your stepdad that, hey, stepdad, all your sons are going to die. Your line's cut off. You are not faithful. You love your sons more than you love Yahweh. You're going to go, you think you got a tough job. What do you think your life's going to be like after that? That's Samuel. That's how he started as a prophet. And look how he ended. Man. Yeah. We'll see his mansion in paradise. Page 207, chapter 3, verse 23. Melania, will you read that?
Yeah. Whatsoever ye may be doing from the soul, be working at it as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that from the Lord ye shall duly receive the recompense of the inheritance. Unto the Lord Christ are ye in service.
Who are you in service to?
Yes.
Christ, your head, and Yahweh. Whatever you're doing, basically do it with all your heart. Don't do it lukewarm. Whatever your job is, do it with all your heart, knowing the all-seeing eye is watching. And if your boss, if your husband, if your wife, if your friends, they don't recognize what you've done. You ever done that? You ever done a clean the whole house and nobody noticed?
Mm-hmm.
It can be very defeating unless you revert back to the scripture. Who did notice? You ever bit your lip or held your tongue when you could have said something just as bad right back at them and they didn't even notice? Usually when I do, you all want to do, hey, get back. I could have said this, but I didn't. Well, why? Because there's a reward. Your old man will reward you for saying face or saying something mean back to somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get a reward, an immediate reward. But if you're obedient, loving your neighbor as yourself, honor your mother and your father, then who's your reward? Yahweh and Yehoshua are going to reward you. But do it with all your heart. Your job, your position, whether it's a Joshua, you're called from this job to this job, consider a privilege. I can imagine Joshua when his job changed as a demotion. Am I going to get paid more for this? I mean, really? I mean, Joshua's got a family. Here we go. And he saw what happened to Moses. People tried to stone him and trying to stone him again. He saw what happened with Aaron. Let me see here. So whether you're an eye, whether you're a foot, whether you're a nose, whatever you're doing, just do it with all your heart. And it says also, it says to be seeking the greater gifts. There's positions in the body. There are people out there that are water boys. Not even water boys. They're picking up the dirty laundry for the football team. They're on the team. But they don't even like that job. And I'm saying that in the spiritual realm. There's Christians, and I've been there. I don't even like this job. And I'm walking around picking up dirty laundry for the football team. I'm not getting on the field. All I do is complain. I'm doing an okay job. And I'm forgetting that he's watching me. Not to make me to be in condemnation, but for me to take his practices and go, I love my job. I remember Kenneth Copeland did it once. He goes, your job might be a window washer. He goes, well, then Yahweh and Christ have called you to be the best doggone window washer in all of land, Jordan. You be the best window washer there is. You be whatever there is. And another good thing about this is you're not supposed to blend in. You're not supposed to be like your brother and your sister. You're not necessarily supposed to be like your dad. You're not supposed to be like your idols. You're supposed to be like you. You. Christ has called you to what he's well pleased in. You're unique. He loves it. He doesn't want you to be like everybody else necessarily. So you go to him and go, hey, I get to be me. And then nice when you just get to be yourself. It's exhausting when you have to act like somebody else. Wait till you start dating somebody, you got to meet in-laws. It's exhausting because you got to act something else. But here's Yahweh and Yehoshua, they love you for who you are. I mean, on the good sides anyways. Whether you're an eye, foot, nose, or toe, and even if you're the little foot, Kenneth Copeland also said that. He goes, I don't care if I'm the skin on the bottom of the baby toe. I'm the skin of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
I'm a part of that.
Yeah.
That's who you are. He goes, take joy in whatever position you have and get excited about it. Say, thank you. Then my name is written in the book of life. Thank you for what you've given me. I'm a part of his body. Oh, so I'm the skin of the part of the body of Christ. Change your perspective. Well, if I'm just the skin on the part of the baby toe, I'm a part of the biggest organ on the body. How do you like that? Because it's the epidermis, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And change your perspective. And then that's how you're going to get promotions. And sports or in business is the same way. And it does say be seeking, be asking, be knocking in a respectful way. You can talk about changing your positions possibly, but if you're going to change your position, let me give you a little tip here. If your position is going to require you to be less pleasing to Yahweh, probably not going to be a good meeting. Probably not going to go through. Because that's what we want, right? I want an easier job. He wants faith. But if you're going to say, I'd like to change a position, okay, here's what you think about it, going to Jesus Christ, you're going to say, so, are you wanting to produce more faith or less faith? This is a trick question. Mm-hmm. If you're not ready to say more faith, then save yourself some time. Because Yehoshua's not going to, I'm not reducing faith to my Father, not knowingly, but that's up to you. 1 Samuel chapter 16, be 304, New Rotherham. And I used to think, you know, just a thing to help me. I remember Joyce Meyer says, push your shopping carts in. I don't remember. I didn't even hear it. I think my daughter or my sister, why don't you use shopping carts? So I was like, well, what am I going to do? And then, like, well, I can't even do that. And then all of a sudden, it was like, Christ in me, like, Aaron, push somebody else's shopping cart in. All right. So he started doing it. But then when I pushed it in, somebody's asking, why are you doing that? And I said, because when I push it, clean up somebody else's mess, guess what I hear? You guys don't know about cash registers today, but it used to be when you made a sale, it went ching, it was a ring.
Oh, yeah.
I just made some money. And so if you're a business owner, every time the cash register opened, when you pay them, there'd be a bell saying, hey, we just made a sale. And so whenever, and I tell Cayman that too, and I said, well, if Yahweh loves faith, because we're talking about cleaning up other people's messes, it's not my mess. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow. Sounds like me. I said, what is more well-pleasing to Yahweh, cleaning up your mess or cleaning up somebody else's mess?
Oh, man.
You're the four-year-old. He was cleaning up somebody else's mess. I said, should that make you excited to do it? And he went, yeah. I said, amen. Clean up other people's messes. Picking up pieces of trash or whatever that is. And do it with all your heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. And there's a good thing too. It says that we're in an evil age. It also says that we have a spiritual warfare, and we're supposed to put on the full armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of glad message, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. What verse does it say take all that equipment off before you go home to your spouse?
Romans 7:9.
For some reason, I don't know why, and I can imagine, I've never been in war, but I know in football it felt good to take off your equipment. For some reason, people take off their equipment and then they go home, forgetting that their spouse might be exhausted too, or their brother or their sister. Keep your equipment on. And sometimes you get a sucker punch right from somebody you got to sleep next to. Oh, you see that? If you would have had your equipment on, it wouldn't hurt as bad. If you would have had you think about playing paintball or anything. If you have your equipment on, somebody hits you, you're like, why'd you do that? But if they hit you in a sensitive spot without your equipment on, you get hurt. But then Yahweh's going to say, why'd you take your shield off? Where was your breastplate, Aaron? I shouldn't have to wear it. I'm home. Really? Chapter and verse. Well, it's a man's house is his castle, right? Chapter and verse. When do you take off your equipment? When you go before Yahweh and Christ. Because are they going to sucker punch in? No. And then you can talk to them and vent. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Here's Samuel choosing a new king after Saul rejected Yahweh. Saul divorced Yahweh. But Yahweh said unto Samuel, do not regard his countenance or the height of his stature, for I have rejected him. For it is not what man looketh to, but what Elohim looketh to. For man looketh to the outward appearance, but Yahweh looketh to the heart. Yahweh sees our heart. And I think it would be to our benefit if we thought about it. Have you ever been hooked up to a lie detector test? Polygraph test? No, I haven't. But I think it would help me if I thought I was hooked up to one a lot. especially, think about it, because how would I act? How would I say things back? I'd be a little, even recording conversations can make you a little bit more sober what's going to shoot out of your mouth. Yahweh looks at your heart. And with your job or whatever position you have, if you're moping around, which all of us, this is all of us, I don't like my job. Yeah, it's tough, right? But if you're moping around, he sees right for your heart. So so what we got to do is we got to change from the inside out. If you act enthusiastic, you'll become enthusiastic. Faith comes by hearing. I love my job. Say it.
I love my job.
Say it.
I love my job.
Say it.
I love my job.
How do you feel after you said that? Your face got, you smiled. That's how you work. That's how you function. The designer of this iPad, the designer of this computer, which is Yahweh, he knows how we work. Speak it. I love my job. Oh, I love it. Oh, this is going to be so good. I was so mad. I was going to say some bad, bad things. But I didn't. I'm going to get some rewards for that instead. Cha-ching, cha-ching. And then take, I love my job. And guess who's watching you try to change your heart? Yahweh is. Do you think that blesses him? Look at Melania sitting in her room. I love my job. I love my job. You could be crying. You or me in my office under my desk. I hate my job. Everybody sucks. That's what I want to say. That's my old man. Old man, you die. You hear that? You die. Get back in your cage. You come back out again, I'm going to choke you. New man, you're on. I love my job. I love that I've been chosen. I love that I've been called to position. I don't care what you want me to do. I want to do it for you. And you say it. Faith comes by hearing. What is it? You want me to change some dirty diapers of a person in a nursing home? I'll do it. What is it? And then confront your fears. What do you not want to do? In a relationship, you can see that here's a husbands and wives, and my life is easy because I'm single, but here's husbands and wives, and sometimes there's disagreements that they don't even bring them up anymore. But trust me, the other spouse still knows where they disagree on. We just don't talk about that one. It's the same thing with Yahweh. We should go and say, think about what will you not do for Yahweh and Jesus Christ? Think outside the box. What would you refuse to do? It doesn't mean you're not going to do it, but he already knows it. You already know it. Why don't we just start talking about it? Why don't we just start working on this relationship to say, hey, I really don't want to do this for you. Would you help me with this? Do you know how much that blesses him when you address a problem? You ever had that where somebody wronged you? And then finally they bring it up and they apologize and they want to talk about it. Does that feel good? How many times have we wronged Yahweh and Jesus Christ? Golly, we need to go back and say, I repent. I don't get to decide. I shouldn't decide anything. I should be thankful with any and everything you ask me to do. I have not been asked to die on a cross in front of my mom. Okay, that's the example. And we go back and say, I apologize, and then help me and send people to me. I know that all of us are a work in progress. We're not done. But that means we got rewards with each act. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. It's about 4 books to the right. Page 448. What is your job? What is he calling you to do? Your problem is not what he's calling you to do. The problem is this stinking thinking inside our brain. The thinking as soon as the grass is always greener on the other side. I was talking to a friend of mine. He's got 6 kids. He's been married for a very long time. And he said, how's your life? I go, going pretty good. He goes, so man, what are your big objectives in 2018? I said, I'm going to get my wife. Yeah. You're going to get married? I said, yeah. He goes, who is she? I don't know. Only my wife. He's like, wow, that sounds great. And I went through a couple other things. I'm confessing. And he goes, can I be honest with you? I go, yeah, so I'm not going to say anybody's name. He goes, do you know what? I'd kind of like to get away from my kids and my wife for about, you know, just 6 or 7 years. His idea of paradise is getting out of where he is. My idea of paradise is getting in where he is. And that, it's always that way. The grass is always greener on the other side. He looks at me and goes, ooh, look at this single guy. He can do whatever he wants. And then hear me, I'm going to bed all by myself. Oh, I just give myself a hug. And so the grass is always greener on the other side. Stop that thinking. I love my job. I love my job. And do it with all your heart and say, you know what? A different position in the body of Christ, a different relationship, a different country, different clothes, should not change anything. It doesn't change. Do you know what changes? This. My mouth and my heart. And to confess it, to say, you are worth everything you've asked me to do. You are worth dying for. I've never been stoned before. I've never been shipwrecked. I've never been bit by a snake after being floating ashore. Have you guys ever had that? Mm-hmm. You ever been sentenced to death by lions eating you alive? Mm-hmm. Have you ever been thrown into a fiery furnace? Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They go, nevertheless, if our God does not deliver us, we still won't do it. I've never had to give that speech.
Yeah.
I haven't. My job is easy. Our job is easy. We confront it with our mouth and our faith. Where was I? Oh, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. this was, I got called to do a race that I didn't want to do. Now it's one of my big trophies. I wanted out of it. I was going to run a half marathon to impress a girl I was dating. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. Halfway through the race, my hip flexor goes out. By the way, before I ran my half marathon, I didn't sleep the whole night. I ended up taking 12 Benadryl trying to sleep. I couldn't sleep. Anything. I just saw my ex-girlfriend. My heart was broke. I couldn't sleep the whole night. I was like, maybe I missed it. Maybe I missed it. Maybe I missed it. I wake up, my alarm goes off. I'm a zombie because I took too much Benadryl trying to go to sleep. And then I'm running this race. Why are you doing this to me? You're setting me up for failure. And I got to see my ex-girlfriend that I'm not going to be dating. You know, it was a heartbreak, all these other things. Remember that whenever you want a girlfriend. And she's going to end it and a boyfriend. And she's going to, there's going to be a breakup. Remember that. Unless it's your spouse. But anyways, I'm running. And I'm confronting things. And then my hip flexor goes out, mile 3. And a teaching that Tim did 2 weeks before. Because I was in fellowship, because I was listening, Yahweh was able to reference something. If you don't have the word inside you, how can Yahweh reference it?
Yeah.
How are you going to know it's Him? How do I know it's Yahweh? Because yesterday, I won't tell you what was going on with my old man, but guess what Yahweh referenced? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Don't know this one. You need to learn it. Be not loving the world, nor the things that are in this world. If anyone be loving the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the coveting of the eyes, the coveting of the flesh, the vain grandeur of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And what happened with me? Here's my old man. It's kind of like a dog. You just stay in the yard, dog. Stay in the yard. All of a sudden, my dog's out of the yard. And Yahweh went, be not loving the world. I went, oh! Got it. I killed that old man. How did he get out? Sorry about that, boss. I got him. It's like a cockroach. Smushed that sucker. But he referenced the scripture. But while I was running the race, the scripture that Tim taught, verse 9. Tim, would you read that for me?
Sure. For as touching Yahweh, seeing that his eyes are ever running to and fro throughout all the earth, to show himself strong with them who are perfect towards himself. Thou hast made thyself foolish over this, for from henceforth there shall be with thee wars.
Yahweh referenced that scripture because my hip flexor went out. Your hip flexor is a small muscle group that picks your knee up. And if you've never done sports or anything, it's a small muscle you have to have. You can't run without picking your knee up. And so as I'm running and the hip flexor is exhausting, and this thing's done. And then in my mind, what's the point? Call me to a race. I'm going to fail. I didn't want to do this. I told you this was going to happen. I told you so's are going on. And then Yahweh referenced that scripture. And I went, you want to show yourself strong? I got one right here for you. Right there. I can't do this on my own. And so I referenced the scripture. It is impossible to finish a race when you can't use your leg. I referenced that scripture. Did it go away? No. But I confess, by the stripes of Christ, I'm whole. By the stripes of Christ, I'm whole. Yelling out loud in anger, pushing, and I pushed through something. At the end of the race, I was like I shot out a cannon. And my race time for not sleeping that night, I didn't sleep the night before in my first half marathon. It was like an hour and 53 minutes. I got down looking at that, and I went, that's impossible. You think? Who gets all the credit? Yahweh looks to and fro to show you strong or him strong.
Yeah.
Is he calling you into something that's going to show him strong or you strong? So he's calling you into a job that you're not any good at? That's fantastic! Because, we'll go back to verse 15, verse 7. You're calling me to be a Pharaoh to Pharaoh? Man, I'm a shepherd! I'm Moses! Why don't you call somebody? Do you think were there Jews down there in Egypt right now? They're probably in the political scene a little bit? Probably. Do you think Moses might have had a Rolodex of thoughts? Oh no, lots of guys in Egypt right now would be good at this. Possibly. It didn't say that, but you can imagine. There's probably politicians down there. There's probably princes. I'm a shepherd now. No? Who's going to get all the credit? Man, Yahweh's really going to be glorified if a shepherd, if you don't know anything about shepherds, shepherds was an abomination. There was a shepherd king with Egypt. That just came back to mind. Now what was Pharaoh going to be forced to do? To kneel before a shepherd. That was... now verse 7. Here's Isaiah. Why don't you read that?
Chapter 15, verse 7. Ye therefore be strong, and let your hands be slack, and let not your hands be slack, for there is a reward for your work.
This word slack. Ye therefore be strong, and let not your hands be slack, for there is a reward. For there is a reward for your work. He wants to show himself strong. Are you going to want to do that? Probably not. Is there a reward?
Yeah.
Yes. This word, this Greek or Hebrew word for slack is Strong's number 7503. It is rapa. So we're going to use this. The context here is our calling or our job, whatever Yahweh Christ called us to. So don't let your hand become rapa. Here's this word. This is according to Strong's number. It's going to say to slacken, to fail, to be faint, to wax feeble, to forsake. Are these some of the things we want to do with our job? I forsake this job. Idle. People ever become idle in their job? Mm-hmm. You know what idle means? Your mom tells you to clean the kitchen. She runs errands. She comes back. It's not clean. And you hear the garage door open. It's not doing anything. All idle. To leave alone. To be slothful. Don't, you know, here's all these things that we're going to have a tendency to do, to be slothful, to idle. Why do I even have this job? I remember that when I had worked, I was thinking about that last night. I was cleaning mom's, cleaning up the kitchen for Christmas dinner. And I remember cleaning, I had this flashback when I was a kid, dad going, it shouldn't take longer than 10 minutes to clean a kitchen. I'd look at him like, yeah, you got to prove it. I'm thinking, of course I didn't say it. And then once or twice, my dad would come in there and he'd clean the whole kitchen that quick just to prove something. But what was he proving? He was showing me that I was being slack. I was being rapa. You're going to be called to do something, and the tendency is going to do it haphazard, just half kind of do it. You ever done that? Kind of scoot this slow. And the idea is going, if you were focusing on the reward, you'd be given all you got. What is your reward? Name a big reward. Somebody name a big reward.
Eternal life.
From us going to California.
California. So everybody should have a new reward. What is something this year that Yahweh can work with? My house is right down the street. And Yahweh forces me to look at it. And it is beyond my means. Do you think that makes me comfortable? No. It does not make me comfortable. Focus. What is your reward? What will make your job worth it? You have to get started. If you don't get started, he's got nothing to work with. If you don't get an idea, it's like bringing a bag of air to the potter's wheel. What is he going to do with that? I don't have anything. Get an idea, and then Jesus Christ will take it, and he'll start molding it into something that is worth it. There's a reward, but with your job, don't get slothful. Don't become idle. That's what slack means. And there's a reward for your job. 2 Chronicles chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And here's prayer closets. Cars are great for it. Kids, you guys should ask your mom where you could, or all of us, to find a place to go. Go confess the things you need to hear. Not the things that you want to necessarily hear, but the things you need to hear. Go scream out loud, or however you do it. You act like you already got it. I'm obviously very animated and loud, right? So if I'm going to act, would I be, if you saw me going, I love my job. I just absolutely love my job. Would you say, Aaron, I don't think you love your job. Why? Well, Aaron, I've seen you when you get excited. It's not like this. How are you when you're excited? Go out there and say, I love my job. I love my job. I love it. I love it. And say it again. And say it again. And say it again. And say, I have the best job there is on the planet. And then when you get done doing that, go back and go, how's your peace? How do you feel? Man, I feel fantastic. Do that every single day. He's watching. He sees your heart. And let me see here. They see, okay, chapter 9, verse 7. This is about giving. And we go back to verse 6, and we can apply this in a lot of different ways. This is financial giving. But we can go back to this, who's sowing into the kingdom? What are you doing for the kingdom? What are you doing for Yahweh? How many people are you witnessing to? How many people are you giving your testimonies to? How many strangers are you engaging in? For Yahweh. And you say, he that soweth sparingly, sparingly should also reap. He that soweth with blessings should also reap. Each one according as he has purpose in his own heart, not sorrowfully, nor of necessity. If you're sowing a lot, there's a reward, right? So we should get real excited. If we're not sowing a lot, we just get started. And Yahweh has called me. Obviously, it's easy for you guys to know what I desire to do. What has He called you to do? To sow into the kingdom. Get very excited. But with your job and your work, not sorrowfully, nor necessity. I like to think about, I was talking about giving a Christmas present. And I said, boy, if I could videotape Donna shopping for the Christmas presents, just in my own mind, if I could videotape that, I said, that would be a gift in itself, because she is such a good giver. She loves giving. She puts so much thought and heart into these giving that I'm like, that's the way I should be. That's the way we should all be, especially when we're giving things to Yahweh Jesus Christ. Just watch Donna when people open up the presents she gives her. It's incredible. It's a ministry in itself, because it is almost more exciting to watch her give something than for somebody to receive it. Although they're really blessed. Going to go, wow. And that's one of your callings. It's one of your gifts. And people watch it and they go, that is unique. That is, I don't know, anybody else has got that. You got that market right there. But whatever He's called you to do, it's not necessarily like everybody else. It's you get on your knees and you ask, what am I supposed to do? And He'll tell you. And then do it with all your heart. Not sorrowfully, not grudgingly. And then and be ready. You're going to be grudgingly. But you got to fight it. See, Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. You die, old man. And every time he pops out, acting like he's a cockroach. Before anybody sees him. Let's see here. What did David have that Saul did not have when he was anointed?
Joyful heart and humility.
We read it in 1 Samuel chapter 16. What did David have? He had a heart to please Yahweh. Saul lost it. And Samuel told him. And he goes, you lost it. You departed. You failed. What did David have? A heart. He just wanted to please Yahweh. Can you imagine David singing songs to Yahweh and the sheep, with the sheep? Can you imagine what kind of songs was King David singing to Yahweh? I don't care what it is, I'll do whatever it is. I love taking care of your sheep. And then a bear comes, like someone called my bluff. Well, I bet you King David had to give himself a pep talk. Maybe it was one or two times he dodged a bullet and the bear went away. And he goes, I better be ready to back this thing up. This is Yahweh's sheep. Your clothing belongs to Yahweh. My house, my life, my breath, my money, everything belongs to Yahweh. We're supposed to be good stewards of it. And I believe David killed those animals because those animals were going to touch Yahweh's sheep. How did he get anointed? He got started off as a shepherd. What kind of shepherd do you think David was? When's the next union meeting? I need more benefits. No. He loved his job. And he went from shepherd to a warrior to a general to a king and prophet. Yahweh was watching him. And we look at King David's life and go, wow. Do you think King David's going to regret any of his obedience in paradise?
No.
King David's one of Jesus Christ's hero. At the resurrection, Jesus Christ would be like, oh, I can't. Oh, man, oh, here's King David, and here's the stories, and here's where King David's going to be in Moses. They're not going to regret any of those things. How about Joseph? It didn't say he was a shepherd, but I think his father was a shepherd. Here's a shepherd to Potiphar's house after he was sold in slavery. And then in Potiphar's house, it says when he was trying to be seduced by a woman, flee fornication, like 1 Corinthians 6. How can I do this evil thing before Yahweh? He remembered Yahweh is watching. And then where did he go from there? Running a prison to Pharaoh. And it says, seek the greater gifts. But you have to be thankful for the job you first have. Football, at least football, that's just my one analogy. It could be in any job. give all that you have and be reliable, whatever it is, whether it's a wedge breaker, a long snapper, whether it's a tackling dummy, give it all you have, and that could be with any job. But do it with all your heart, and even in sports, whether it's school, whether it's whatever it is, do it knowing Yahweh's watching. He goes, don't do it with a slothful hand, don't do it with an idle hand, don't do it with a lazy hand, do it with a strong hand, knowing there's a reward, it's worth it. And tell yourself to say, I'm going to do this with a cheerful heart, acting like there is a reward that's worth this. And you say it, but then it's good for you to get the next part and say, what is a reward that will be worth all this? You say, and then the last part is, in the end of the Gospel of John, Yehoshua, or Jesus Christ, went to Peter. Because Peter says, I'm going to go fishing. He went to go fishing. All the rest of the disciples went with him. Jesus Christ, have you any food? Anyways, they're sitting around having fish after this. How many people were fishing? This is like all of them. Who did Jesus Christ single out?
Peter.
Do you think Peter felt like he was being picked on? I bet you felt like he was being picked on too when he's called Satan. Wait a minute. That just means slander or adversary. But what did Yehoshua tell Peter? He goes, do you love me, Peter? You know I love you. Then do your job. Peter, do you love me? You know all things. Do your job. Peter, do you love me? Oh, it's the third time in front of everybody. Do your job. Do your job. And what did Peter do? Peter probably at that point, like all of us, had this tipping point. Yahushua was asking him to do something he didn't want to. In Peter's defense, he's, as far as we know, he's married. We know he has a mother-in-law. He has a mortgage. He's got a business of fishing. He probably, in his mind, is going to compromise. Maybe I'll be a fisherman and still teach. But that's not what Yahweh called him to do. But what happened right after this? Who stood up on the day of Pentecost? Peter. At the gate, beautiful, who was with John? Who said, silver and gold have I none?
Peter.
Yeah, whose shadow was raised people from the dead? Who could see that? Yahweh and Yehoshua could see that, and they could see the same things with each one of us when we do our job, to go, your shadow raised somebody from the dead. I guarantee your mom going back and getting healed so that your mom and dad could have Ruth does not regret all that work she did. Do you think? It looks like right now we might have to have surgery to remove Ruth from your mom's body. I don't think she regrets Ruth. She loves Ruth. I look back at what your mom and your dad did. They did a 180. They'll go get surgery, make themselves very vulnerable to get healed. And your mom did that out of obedience. Does that make it vulnerable? And then look at the reward that your mom has now and your dad. How are they around Ruth? They melt? Would they ever undo any of that? That's how Yahweh rewards us. Think about Ryan. You see the video of Ryan talking, saying Merry Christmas, Daddy, with his curly hair?
Yeah.
Man, can you put a price on these things? That's who rewards us. That's who rewards us. And we should look at your parents or your kids and think about these people who glow with these rewards and go, I love my job. I love my job. And then to go back, I guess, to wrap things up, it goes back to Joshua 1. Joshua being changed to a different job. how was he going to be successful? Be firm and be bold.
Be very firm.
And then be very firm and bold. Then it said, take this word, speak it day and night. And Deuteronomy said, Deuteronomy is even more than two times a day. When you get up, when you sit down, when you lay down, put it on your wall, put it on your forehead, put it on your hands, put the word everywhere. And your job gets easy. If you're not putting the word everywhere, is your job going to be easy or hard? It's going to be difficult. And what did Joshua do? He took the word, he spoke it, and he succeeded. Who's like Joshua? I'm not written in the book of Hebrews. So fulfill your calling. Fulfill your position. Fulfill what Yahweh and Christ has done. They've called you to something because this is what pleases them. And confront things. And then if you get into a position, this is real important. All of us have been in a position where we're in a job, or we're in a car payment or something that we weren't supposed to be in, or something like that. Well, how do I get out? We get on our knees and we get peaceful to say, speak, for your servant is listening. But I really encourage you, before you have those meetings, be thankful, sing a song, to ask them what they want, and then when it's going to say, hey, how do I get out of this thing? Unless it would bless you for me to finish this thing. And then whatever they tell you to do, do it with all your heart, knowing there's a reward for it. And fulfill your position in Christ. Nobody can reward you better than them. If Donald Trump hired you for something, and you got beat up, and your head shaved, or something horrible, in front of everybody that mocked you, it would be embarrassing, right? What would Donald Trump do? Do you think he'd stick up for you? Do you think he'd make it worth your while? I think he'd probably send a private plane down for you and fly up. How much more so would Jesus Christ for any one of us? So, we thank you, Father, for your words. We thank you for tonight. And my sons and my daughters, know that I have perfect vision. I have foresight. You don't have foresight. But I do ask you to look at your hindsight. Look at the victories that I've done specifically in your life. Recount them every day. Think about what I've done in your life. Look at the resume I've done in your life. Think about the things that I've witnessed to you on a daily basis where you would have quit, but I told you to go on, and you did it. Look at the victory we've done together. You see, this life is about freedom of will. It's about choices. And because there's freedom of will and there's choices, you get to partake in the victories. You get to be a part of my parades of great victory. So be excited. Look what we've done together. But the future, leave that to me. The future will only make you disoriented, and you'll lose your way. It's like a sailor who refused to look at the stars. Don't do that. Look at your reference point. The reference point is the Word and what I've already done in your past. And do it each day, knowing that I could come home any day. I could come back for you guys like the undercover boss. I will reward you. I will reward you. There's no rewarder like me. So make yourself enthusiastic. Build yourself up. Get excited. And do this. And take it to your enemies that's inside you. And squash him every day he comes back and tries to blaspheme what I've called you to do. Because I am well pleased with your life.
Amen. Hallelujah.
What, does anybody have any?